From the CCNSO, we have Martin Boyle, Becky Burr, Christy Spain, Dejan Djukic, Daniel Kalchev, Eberhard Lisse, Patricio Poblete, Nigel Roberts, and Bill Semik. From liaisons, we have Cherilyn Ganor. From staff support and special advisors, we have Jaap Akkerhuis, Bart Boswinkel, Christina Nordström, and Bernie Turcott. And apologies from Patricia Poblete for lateness, and possible apologies from Desiree Milosevic.
Possible apologies. Okay. I am still getting the Adobe Room up. I'm sorry, I was a little slow on this. I imagine that the next thing on the agenda is reviewing the minutes from our last call. Is that correct?
Yes.
Does anybody have comments or corrections on those? Hearing none, shall we assume they are approved? We'll treat them as approved. Great, great. Now I'm about to make a move. Okay. Okay, so the confirming the agenda for today, we're going to talk about the revocation provision, and hopefully we will be able to close out on it this morning. I think we can move right into that. Bernie, I'm going to hand it over to you to drive the presentation.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. All right. Following our last meeting, we had a number of changes. I believe we've got them up on the screen. They were, for the most part, an editing nature. So let's go. Starting at 5, revocation, 5.1. Actions by the IANA contractor. RFC 1591 identifies three formal mechanisms available to contractor: delegation, transfer, revocation. So we've removed formal. This analysis does not modify or challenge national sovereignty over a delegated manager, subject to legal and other considerations beyond the remit of the FOI working group. Accordingly, other formal mechanisms that are not available to the IANA contractor may be available to the stakeholder community under national law. So this is a bit of a bigger change, and we'll entertain comments and questions at this point.
Any comments or questions?
What national sovereignty? There is no such national sovereignty.
Well, the notion was that with respect to CCTLDs that are operating in-country, the laws, the relevant and applicable laws of that jurisdiction might provide some additional rights and mechanisms for resolving disputes that are not really IANA's, they're not within IANA's purview.
Yeah, but so it doesn't
just a
say
law
so
of, in a... Okay, go ahead.
You were not finished,
sorry. No, I am. It's just the law of the place where you are, which is always the case, that there are going to be, there may be opportunities.
Yeah, but it doesn't say in the RFC, from what I understand.
Correct. The RFC, this is just noting a fact. Uh, I mean, it's a fact of life. It's a fact of law. It is not an interpretation of RFC 1591. It was viewed as important to acknowledge that, you know, 1591 is about what IANA can do. It's not the extent of what somebody, you know, it's not the full of extent of to whom a CCTLD manager may be answerable.
Yeah, then put it like this, or make a footnote in this regard. RFC 1591 does not say anything about national sovereignty, about the CCTLD or the domain manager. Nothing, not a single word.
Nigel, your hand is up. Nigel, are you on mute?
My typing before we started the game. I trust you can hear me now.
Yeah.
Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, or good middle of the night to wherever you are. I understand the point of putting this in here. It's helpful in a number of ways. I think the phraseology is, however, causing us problems here. And I think the choice of the word sovereignty itself is problematic, even though I know where you're going here. And I don't think there's any, malign intent or whatever, but I think there's some unintentional problems here, particularly given that there's the term sovereignty can be interpreted in at least four different ways. Are we not talking about jurisdiction in this sentence?
Well, we are talking about jurisdiction, but in this case, there, you know, the notion would be that the jurisdiction in the ordinary course is concurrent with the. You know, the country associated with the CCTLD. My take on this is, I understand the notation that, I mean, and I think we can just note that this is just an observation. It is not an interpretation of 1591. It's an observation of the actual state of the world, and take it from there.
You see, here's where I would have a problem with this new phraseology, and it's specifically that word sovereignty rather than national sovereignty, but the word sovereignty. When you come from a country where, because of thousands of years of historical development, much of the power, if you like, is still in a non-statutory form, and things are not written down. And sovereignty refers to the ancient powers of the Queen to use the prerogative, which obviously is now done by the government. But I'm uncomfortable with this. I think we're talking about jurisdiction and not sovereignty.
Well, how about if we said, I mean, does not modify or challenge
applicable jurisdiction or applicable law or something along those lines.
But it also doesn't challenge sovereignty. Could I ask Martin, since the choice of words here you're the source, can I ask you to participate in this conversation?
Um, Certainly, I'm not sure I've got any particular preference over specific reference to jurisdiction or answerability under or applicability of national law.
Okay.
I'm not sure I really properly understand Nigel's objection to national sovereignty in this particular case, because at the end of the sentence we specifically make reference to subject to legal and other considerations beyond the remit of the working group. I would pick up on Eberhard's point that yet this is not covered in the in RFC 1591, but I would have significant problems if we did not note somewhere in our document that RFC 1591 is not the only document that might have an impact on or the only source that might have an impact on the delegation or the redelegation process, and therefore putting it in here would seem to me to be quite appropriate, because what we're saying is that in what follows all we are doing is looking at RFC 1591.
Okay, so as I understand the proposal is that we would modify the phrase here to say it does not challenge national jurisdiction over a delegated manager, and then somewhere basically drop a footnote that says RFC 1591 doesn't talk about these issues. This is an observation. I'm going to ask, since we're talking about text that I changed, could I ask Chris if you would chair during this part of the conversation?
Sure.
Great.
Let me get the Adobe room in front of me. Hang on.
In the meanwhile, Bill Semich just got his hand up, and then Al.
Yeah, I can see Bill and Al, so Bill, go for it.
You're on mute.
You're on mute, Bill.
I had to unmute, sorry.
Welcome, Bill.
Hello. I have a lot of concern with this section. I'm okay with what starts after accordingly, and if it would be helpful to expand what starts after accordingly, that would be helpful. But, for example, national sovereignty over a delegated manager implies there's a lot of implications to that phrase, which may not necessarily be true in reality. Nations associated with CCTLDs in many cases do not have any sovereignty over a delegated manager. For example, IUSN is a U.S. company, and that's a delegated manager. The nation of Niue does not have any national sovereignty over IUSN. So I'm concerned about the language that was chosen. I would be more comfortable with something like, the analysis has no relation to any relevant national or international law with respect to a delegated manager, rather than throwing the national sovereignty, red herring.
I believe that we've already agreed that this would be changed to jurisdiction.
Yeah, I think, Becky, I think we can agree that it's jurisdiction, but I think Bill's point is, and it's an interesting question, do we mean national jurisdiction over the manager?
Well, I am perfectly happy to just say national jurisdiction, because I think that this is nothing more than an observation about things that are beyond the remit of the working group. So it doesn't challenge principles of national sovereignty period, or national jurisdiction.
Jurisdiction, period.
Period.
Yeah, that's fine. Eberhard.
Thank you. I'm a little bit concerned that the speaking order becomes increasingly ad hoc. Secondly, I do not have any answer to my question, where is this referred to in any of our policy documents? This is new. I do not really recall having discussed this. It is it uses language that I don't understand. It confuses me, and it has nothing to do with what we're doing. I'm not... this is not going to be easy to keep it. Jurisdiction? What, we're not talking about jurisdiction. We're talking about how to interpret existing documents. So why do we write things that don't concern us?
Becky, do you want to respond to that?
I think that there was some concern here that the document could be interpreted as providing very, very, very narrow remedies for a local community that was not being properly served by the CCPLD manager. And our point in putting this in was that RFC 1591 is not the only thing. It's the only thing that matters for IANA, but it is not the only thing that matters more generally.
Yes, all right. I've got Elle's hand is still up, and I'll get to you in a second. Elle and Nigel's hand is up. It seems to me that aren't we making a statement? Aren't we attempting to make a statement here that in effect says that there are issues outside of ICANN's remit that are national jurisdictional issues, and may even, as Bill has said, be international jurisdiction issues, to which this analysis doesn't attempt to analyze those. Is that right?
Correct.
They exist, and this doesn't attempt to analyze them. Okay.
Correct.
Nigel, you are first, and then Elle.
Thanks. Well, I've already made my point about the word sovereignty to try and assist Martin.
We've established that. Sorry, mate. Carry on. Nigel, you've disappeared.
Am I there?
No, you are now.
Hello? Yeah, okay. I've already mentioned why I find the actual word sovereignty problematic, because sovereignty means more than just jurisdiction. In its ultimate, it means the ability to put an army on a piece of land and repel borders.
B-O-A-R.
And also, there are problematic issues, for example, in that the Channel Islands does not have sovereignty. The United Kingdom has sovereignty here. So it's a problematic word. It has far too many and too broad a meaning. So having made the point, and I think it's been accepted, that we don't want the word sovereignty used, let's go back to the actual phraseology. I'm uncomfortable with the approach of the sentence as well. Let's just even assume we're going to substitute the word jurisdiction. It's this analysis does not modify or challenge. Well, this is, why would it? You can't. You simply cannot modify or challenge the law. ICANN is not a legislator. So the suggestion that ICANN could potentially do that I'm very flattered that somebody out there thinks that we might be able to do that, whether it's inside or outside the ICANN process, but that it's just not possible.
Nigel, hold on a minute. That's drawing a very long bow. To suggest that saying it doesn't do something implies that it could. It is not really. I mean, in drafting terms, that's a nonsense. You often.
No, Mark. Sorry. I didn't mean
you often make statements for clarity.
Chris.
Don't you?
Yeah. Chris, that's not what I'm getting at. I'm getting at the word, using the words. This analysis does not modify or challenge. I'd much prefer to have much more objective and neutral language, which says our efforts to interpret such and such do not address possible questions of local jurisdiction in the country or territory concerned. I'm very happy with that.
Got
it's
it.
Just
got
the,
it.
The implication that we could modify or challenge. If
I get it. I get it. Can I make a suggestion? I'll come to you in a second, Everhard, but just let me make a suggestion, which is that we've got a couple of people saying they're not entirely sure why we've got this clause here in the first place. We've got a couple of people talking about how you would modify the clause to make it acceptable. My suggestion would be that we square bracket it, work on it, and provide an explanation on the list in an attempt to explain to those who may not understand why we need it, why we think we do, and come up with some new wording. That would be my suggestion for moving on, but Everhard, your hand is still up.
I was thinking, first of all, I don't know what... Somebody is breathing into the microphone so much that I cannot really hear anything anymore. Secondly, I don't understand the word delegated manager. That word has to be worked on. Then we are supposed to interpret rather than make policy. And the question that Nigel just raised had something that we need to look at, is whether there is indeed national jurisdiction or sovereignty or something over something, and even if, does it concern us, or does it concern us whether or whether not? So I think this is a big thing, a big can of worm that we should go and look at in more detail. But like this, we can't have it.
Thanks, Everhard. No problem. Bill, your hand was up next. Then Nigel, then I'm going to suggest that Becky, we talk about the way forward. Bill?
Can you hear me? Am I off mute?
You are off mute.
Okay, good. Something comes to mind from RFC 1591, and that's the manner in which the drafters, John and whoever else, John Glenson, Dean Goldstein, dealt with the idea of what is a country and what is not. They merely stepped away. They said the IANA is not in the business of deciding what is and what is not a country. And I think language like that, sort of neutral, the FOIG has not taken a stand on what a legal jurisdiction is over a people's manager. Some sort of neutralizing comment would be acceptable to me.
Thanks, Bill. Nigel, last word.
Yeah, well, in fact, it'd be quite appropriate. I'm in accordance with Chris and your proposal to exclude this with square brackets or however you want to do it and come back to it afterwards. But that in itself means that we cannot do what we plan today, which is to finalise this document.
Well, we can...
Are we all in accordance with that way forward?
Well, we can move on and discuss the rest of the document, and if all we're dealing with is 511, then obviously we can't finalise it if we've still got 511 hanging, but I wouldn't have thought it would take that long to sort it out, but I take your point.
Okay, then, great.
I just don't think that it's going to be a big benefit to spend any more time bouncing a ball backwards and forwards. I completely understand all the points that have been made, and I think we can probably come up with some wording that works for those who are concerned about the wording and provide an explanation to those who are concerned about the reason for it being there in the first place. Becky, are you comfortable with that?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, if 511 is the only thing that remains open, then perhaps we can, finalize subject to resolving that. But I actually think that there's a pretty easy way to resolve this issue, because I also understand what people are saying.
Okay. All right, well, that's good. In that case, can we move on, Bernie, please? Do I get to hand the chair back to you now, Becky?
You may, sir.
Thank you. Over to you.
Okay.
All right, Bernie? Nigel?
Yes, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
Excellent. 512, basically, as per suggestions last week, and instead of has interpreted, interprets, and that is open because we will finish that. Square brackets at the end. 513, the FOI Working Group, interprets RFC 1591. to require the consent of an incumbent manager to any transfer of the CCTLD. We've agreed to that. I don't think there's going to be a big problem. The correction was per the discussions last week. 5.4 has not changed. The working group interprets the term revocation to refer to the process by which the IANA contract manager rescinds responsibility for management of the CCTLD from an incumbent manager. I'm sorry, is there a question? No, not hearing anything. 5.15, unless a CCTLD manager engaged in substantial misbehavior or persistent problems in the operation of a CCTLD, consents to a transfer in the event informal efforts to address problems are unavailing, the only formal mechanism available to the IANA contractor to deal with intractable problems is revocation. There have been a few changes here, so we will take questions. Over to you, Madam Chair.
Nigel? Nigel, you're muted.
Just takes a couple of seconds to switch mute off. I'm with you now.
All righty. Your hand is raised.
I'm confused by 515. By strikeout and deleting, we've ended up with some grammatical issues here. So I'd like to go through that in a bit more detail if we can.
Okay. So the first clause now reads, unless the CCTL manager engaged in substantial misbehavior or persistent problems in the operation of a CCTLD, consent to a transfer. So that we had the if one assumes and is unlikely to, but here I think we just decided to make it straightforward. So if they don't consent to a transfer, and there are IANA's efforts to address the problem don't work, then revocation is the only formal mechanism available.
Okay, we agreed on where we're going here. Let's just try and get the words right, if that's all right. Can I make a suggestion?
Yes.
Unless a CCTLD manager has engaged, it doesn't really matter, but I think has engaged is probably better, has engaged in substantial misbehavior, or insert the words there are, or there have been. There have been is probably better.
Okay.
Persistent problems in the operation of a CCTLD. Then we need some conjoining words here, something like or consents to a transfer.
I understand.
Nigel, that's changing. That's changing the whole context of the yeah. Sentence, Nigel. And if you look at it, and that may not be a problem, but let's be really clear. The way it's currently worded is unless a manager who is engaged or who has engaged in, and you can put those words in.
Both in at the same time. Yes, agreed.
Yeah. So unless the CCTLD manager... So just ignore persistent problems for a moment. Unless the CCTLD manager... Who has engaged in substantial behavior consents to a transfer.
Okay. Yeah, now I understand.
Then the only formal mechanism is revocation. If you want to keep it simpler, what we could do is actually split it into two subparagraphs, the first one dealing with substantial misbehavior, the second one saying effectively exactly the same thing, but dealing with persistent problems.
Yes, that makes sense to me, and I understand exactly what Nigel said.
Okay. Yep. Okay, cool.
Okay. Other comments? L and then Bill Senich, and I actually don't know whose hand went up in what order.
Let me start, perhaps. I agree with what you're getting at, but it's difficult to understand. And I personally don't think take a CCTLD manager engaged in, as in has engaged, but it is an ongoing process, we can't get him to behave himself, that kind of thing. So, but basically, if somebody who is misbehaving, we tried everything, he doesn't want to consent, then the final option is revocation. That's what it's supposed to mean, isn't it?
Correct.
Yeah. We must just find some language that makes it easier to understand, I think.
Agreed.
This language is a little bit complicated.
I agreed. I think we agreed to split it into two sentences. Bill?
Actually, I'll sort of put the thunder out of my comment, but I have some concerns about saying unless the CCTO, the manager, engaged in substantial misbehavior. I think we need to say something more to the effect of has been shown to and refer to previous sections that talk about substantial misbehavior and evidentiary or whatever it is we're doing to determine that it has gotten to that stage. I think what you're trying to accomplish here is that you want to make sure that we've provided for the manager who has been shown to substantially be misbehaving the opportunity to consent to a transfer. And if he or she doesn't consent to that transfer, then revocation happens. But I don't think it's happening in the language that we've got here.
Okay. I understand your point. Any other comments? Nigel, your hand is up again.
I'm just getting ready for the next paragraph.
Okay, so I think we will put this paragraph in square bracket and move to the next. Bernie?
Thank you, ma'am. 516. Below, we first review RFC 1591, Section 3, Paragraph 5. Oh, music. Lovely.
You're listening to classic film, right? 7 point.
Well, we'll have a musical interlude here.
Is this intermission, Becky?
Well, it's data.
The operator's trying to locate it, but we haven't been able to yet, so...
Okay, our romantic music interlude is over. Nigel.
Thank you. 5.1.6, I've just got some minor suggested amendments to it to help the text flow. I think the language could be made much simpler English. Below we first review, I think we can... Would you give me 5 minutes, and I'll come up with some suggested text? But there's some words missing in it as well, which deals revocation and things like that. If you give me a couple of minutes, I'll come up with something.
Sure, Nigel. The point of this is just to preface and surface the fact that we are actually dealing with the paragraphs in reverse order from 1591.
I haven't spotted at all. So I'll see if I can come up with something on the fly. And if we're going to talk about what we're doing in 5.2, then perhaps this paragraph should move into 5.2.
No, I mean, this talks about what we're doing in the rest of this document, 5.2 and then 5.3. But okay.
Then you should promote this to 5.2 and the rest to 5.3. I'll come up with some words in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Excellent. Any other comments?
We can move on from
comments?
There otherwise.
Any other comments on this? Okay, Bernie, want to move us into 5.2?
Yes, ma'am. 5.2, revocation for persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain. We haven't really changed things here for several weeks. There was a comment made from L the last time he was on that the quotes in 5211 to 5214 should be adjusted if they're going to be real quotes. And once we get a little further down the line with this document, probably in the next version, we'll have that fixed up. We did not have a chance to do that this week. So 5-2-1, if there are any other comments, we'll be glad to take them at this point. Nigel, you have your hand
up. No other.
Ah, okay. So, sounds like we're okay here.
Moving right along.
5-2-2, RFC 1591 clearly contemplates revocation in appropriate cases involving persistent problems with the proper operation of a domain as described above. 5-2-2-1, the IANA contractor has not publicly stated the standards by which it will evaluate whether or not a manager is doing a satisfactory job of operating the DNS service for the domain, bracket ccTLD, or B, there are, quote, persistent problems with the proper operation of the domain, full stop. This is quoting verbatim certain chunks from RFC 1591. I don't think we've ever had questions or issues with 5-2-2-1. Are there any at this time? All right, I'm not seeing. Oh, Nigel.
Yeah, just to let you know, I've posted a proposed standalone 5.2 or 5.1.6 or 5.3, whatever you want to call it, in the chat room and would appreciate feedback.
All right, since we haven't gone too far from that, Madam Chair, do you want to go back to that since we've actually got real text posted and we can put maybe put that one to bed?
Yes, and I think Patricio has suggested some text for for 5.1. Okay, so in Nigel in the chat room, in 5.2 and 5.3, following, we shall look first at paragraph 6, section 3 of our C-1591 dealing with revocation for persistent problems. Then we shall deal with paragraph 4. And I think that is an absolutely accurate statement of what we do. So any views on that? I certainly am comfortable with the rewrite. I'm going to take silence for consent.
Yes.
Okay, and then if we could look at the language that Patricio has also suggested in the chat for 5.1, revocation is the only formal mechanism available to the IANA contractor when a ccTLD engages in substantial misbehavior or there are persistent problems of the operation of the ccTLD and informal efforts have not resolved the problem. That, you know, and the manager does not consent to a transfer, and I guess we just need to add the concept back of an informal efforts have not resolved the situation. Something along those lines work for people? And Eberhardt notes that consent should be with a little c, and we'll make that correction. Okay, I'm going to take, Bill Semich has raised his hand. Bill?
Yeah, I understand that this section is merely explanatory and not whatever you would call it, adjudicatory or something that actually says what must be done, but merely an explanation of how things work. But I am concerned again that here we're describing revocation. We're describing a manager engaging in substantial misbehavior without any limiters. By that I mean
okay, has been shown. Yeah, that works.
Okay.
Okay. So I'll at some point I'll try to get this rewritten and back in the chat, and we'll come back to that. Everhart, do you have a comment on this? Everhart?
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
I'm getting a bit confused. It's difficult to understand. Ad hoc text comes in. You interrupt people all the time. This is taking a little bit of an unorderly form, and I must say it's a bit difficult for me to follow.
Okay, that is a reasonable point, and I think what we're going to do now is just move in order. We've accepted Nigel's proposed substitute language for 5.16. We have gone through parts of 5.2. Bernie, why don't you carry on?
Thank you, ma'am. So we were at 5.2.2.1, and I don't know if there are comments or questions relative to 5.2.21. I see Al has his hand up.
Sorry, I haven't got it down.
Oh, thank you, sir. Nigel.
A question. Do we deal anywhere in the document with the interpretation of the expression central IR in this part of 1591?
Not to my knowledge.
A footnote at the very least would be worth putting in.
Okay.
Even if only to say we don't know what it means.
May actually be a valid point. Thank you, Nigel. Any other questions or comments? Your hand is still up, Nigel. I will assume you just haven't put it down. Thank you, sir. Moving on to 5.2.2. The FOI Working Group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA contractor to avoid actions that undermine the stability and security of the DNS and or the continuing operation of the domain for the benefit of the local community. So, minor changes, but we'll take comments on 5.2.22, if there are any. Going once, going twice. Ah, Nigel.
And then Bill.
Okay. I understand that we've changed the word believes it is consistent with the intent of to interprets, probably based on a comment of mine in previous, a general comment that applied to more than one paragraph. But this is a bold assertion. It says we interpret RFC 1591. Which bit of RFC 1591 do we interpret, and how do we get the output?
I believe that we have said in several places that stability and security is sort of the prime directive here.
My point is that this is policy making. Well, not policy making. This is a bold assertion.
Don't interrupt, Nigel.
Take your own medicine, Eberhard.
I was comfortable with believes it's consistent with the intent of RFC 1591. This indeed was a change, I think, that you did suggest, and maybe in a more general way. I am happy to go back to the previous language.
Well, I could suggest where something of this nature might derive. I think this derives from the obligation to avoid persistent problems with the domain.
Um,
I think that's the only place that such a statement can do. Now, obviously, it's motherhood and apple pie. CCTLD managers should not undermine the stability of the security of the DNS.
I mean, do you have a... I agree, it's motherhood and apple pie. So if we went back to the preceding language, I mean, I am a little concerned that... Well, I'd have to look at the persistent problem, but I'm not sure it does... It helps us to tie it to the persistent problems issue.
May I interrupt? I also see the word IANA contractor here.
It's
the contractor that we're trying to bind here, not the CCTLD manager. So you can ignore everything I've said because that was based on a fundamental misunderstanding.
Okay, good. So you're fine with it?
So we could. Well, I'm not fine with it because I don't believe there's any obligation in RFC 1591 on the IANA contractor in this regard, unless you can show it to me. I think perhaps we could just use the word should and make a really broad, sweep. Motherhood and apple pie statement, but I know I'm being a bit rigorous about the word interpretation throughout the whole of this working group, but I think that's our job. I think we must use the test that are we interpreting something? If so, what are we interpreting and what's our interpretation, rather than making any other statements, that even if they're true.
I'm just thinking about the concept here is a concept that comes up that the sort of the focus of the IANA contractor should be on stability and security. We've talked about it in other sections, and I believe we talked about it again later on. Let me just ask Bill, if he has a comment on this specific point, and then Elle.
Yeah, I guess I'll start with the bold concept that maybe we don't need this section, or why do we have it, and then I'll make comments after that.
Why don't you go ahead and make the comment?
Well, it seems to me that this is a negative, and I'm wondering why we've chosen negative rather than positive. I know it's IANA's remit to maintain the stability and security of the DNS, and that's a positive requirement. To say to avoid actions that undermine the stability and security makes no requirement on IANA, the IANA contractor, to actually take actions that maintain the stability and security. I'm just a little confused about, as I said, the intent of the section and then the structure of the language. And I think those ideas are related.
Eberhard?
I have posted a quote from RFC 1591 into the chat room, which clearly states that this is recursive. So whatever is expected from us, we can expect from IANA contractor. So I personally think we should leave it as it is.
Bill, do you have your hand up again? Nigel has his hand up now.
Okay, I'm trying to start from the beginning again because the hot button for me was the word interpret. The FOIG interprets RFC 1591. Well, it doesn't and it can't. Eberhard, I don't think your point about recursion works here because recursion is downwards. So that doesn't seem to work. If you want to put the word the FOIG thinks IANA, the mandate of IANA is such that it should support the stability, etc., etc. Again, motherhood and apple pie, I agree with the intent of the statement, but I don't think it's part of the interpretation work. So let's put some motherhood and apple pie in there and move on.
Okay. I do, if we see, this concept has been in this document, I think, since the very first draft. And if you see below in 53412, it says, given that the primary responsibility of the IANA contractor, I think we can give it some motherhood and apple pie, and I think that it is an important concept because it grounds all of the further actions and focus of the IANA contractor here. So I'm, again, I think that if we went back to the original language, believes it is consistent with the intent of RFC 1591, then does that do it for you? And I taking into account Bill's concerns about the fact that it's in the negative. Bill, I'm not hearing Nigel, so...
Nigel, are you done? I guess so. I'm still trying to grapple with the purpose of this section. I'm going to make a couple of assumptions and see how they fly. One of them is the IANA can't come in and pull away a delegation and leave the community without any domain name until it finds a new manager. Is that kind of what we're trying to get at, or exactly what's going on here?
It is more to focus. The entire way that the group has read this is to focus IANA on misbehavior and persistent problems that pose a threat to the stability and security of the DNS, and to understand that all of these other sort of softer requirements that are contextual take a back seat to this sort of prime directive from the perspective of the IANA contractor. That's what the purpose of this is, and it is invoked in several other places, and it is the way that we have sort of focused the primary focus of the IANA contractor on the really concrete operational issues. So it does have a specific purpose, and it does ground the concepts that we follow later on about keeping IANA out of the sort of mushier debates.
I guess my interest would be to make sure this runs both ways, insofar as if there is substantial misbehavior, action has to be taken, but precipitous action that will damage the continuing operation of the domain for the benefit of the local community has to be avoided. That's my only issue.
Say that one more time.
I'm assuming that this is in here because we're supposed to say that, you know, it's important for us to say that, you know, if IANA sees things happening that mess up the DNS or damage the operation of the domain for the benefit of the local community, it does have to take action in order to continue to support those concepts. But on the other hand, I guess what I'm saying is if IANA takes action precipitously, as one might define what has been happening in the past, in such a way that continuing operation of the domain for the benefit of the local community is harmed, and that could in fact apply to some of the redelegations for Yugoslavia or other countries that have changed their structure, the IANA has to avoid taking those kinds of actions. I'm not trying to specify what should or shouldn't be constrained, restrained, or otherwise controlled. I'm just saying that in my view, this section can and should relate to both IANA's being proactive to maintain stability and so on, but also not being precipitous in such a way that in their efforts to maintain stability they've screwed up the local domain name.
Okay.
That's all I'm going to say.
Okay, that's fine. I mean, this section is on revocation, but I understand your the concept you're raising here.
Thanks.
Okay, anybody else have comments on that section? Bernie, do you want to move us on to 5223?
Yes, ma'am. 5223, mostly a deletion at the end of the paragraph. We'll go through it, though. The FOI working group notes that technical operations of TLDs has greatly evolved from the time of publication of RFC 1591, full use of the Internet. And although still a specialized field, this is standard knowledge for networking specialists and is supported by a large volume of easily accessible documentation and applications. We'll stop. Questions, comments?
Hearing none.
All right. That would conclude Section 5.2. Oh, Bill.
I guess I would I wonder why we're talking about TLDs as opposed to DNS. I mean, if we get too much into TLDs and we start looking at registry code and EPP and all those other kinds of things.
I believe that was a comment from Eberhardt at some point that noted that RFC 1591 was applicable in many cases to both CCTLDs and GTLDs, and I see Al has his hand up, so
okay.
Maybe we can hand it over to him.
Okay.
Eberhardt.
Yeah, that's correct, but doesn't answer Bill's question. Whether it's CCTLD or GTLD is not the issue. But it's not just only operating the name servers. It's also registering domain names. So if somebody, if you try to register domain names and it does, and they don't answer or they just don't do it, that is not, or it doesn't work, they put the wrong names in, whatever. It's not only just putting the zone files up properly. So I think we should leave it as is.
Okay, and we have Nigel.
Nigel? Yeah.
I found both Bill and then just latterly Eberhardt to be quite unintelligible. I don't know if there's something going wrong with the bridge.
They were fine for me, so maybe your connection. Can you hear me, Nigel?
I can hear you perfectly. It was Eberhardt and Bill that I had a problem with.
Okay, I could hear them both fairly well, although Bill is distant, but they were clear. So let's carry on. If there's continued problems, type away in the chat that you are having those. We'll have a look. Is that okay?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So we've got a proposal from Eberhardt that we leave it as is, I believe. Would that be okay with you, Bill? Thank you, Bill. I see a green check mark. Nigel, I see your hand up again. Do you have a comment? Okay, it's gone away. So I believe we've dealt with Section 5.2, and we'll move on to Section 5.3. Substantial misbehavior, which is certainly one of our most discussed sections in this working group's life, and we are back into it. 5.3.1, in addition to the operational requirements identified above, RFC 1591 identifies key requirements and necessary responsibilities of designated managers, including 5311, the requirement that there be a manager that supervises the domain names and operates the domain name system in that country. 5312, the requirement that the manager be on the Internet with IP connectivity to name servers and email connectivity to the designated manager and its staff. 5313, the requirement that there be an admin and technical contact for each domain, including for ccTLDs, an admin contact residing in the country. There is a subclause to 5313, which is 53131. The FOI working group interprets this requirement to mean that the manager must confirm that the IANA contractor must be able to validate that the administrative contact resides in the country or territory associated with the ccTLD. This establishes a clear intention from RFC 1591 that there be local, in-country, or territory associated with the ccTLD presence. The FOI working group recognizes there may be extenuating circumstances where it is impractical or even impossible for the administrative contact to reside in the country or territory, or where the operator has a contract that eliminates this requirement. 5314, the designated manager serves as a trustee for the delegated domain with a duty, 15 pages, to serve the nation in the case of a country code and the global internet community. We've taken on quite a bit here. Let's stop at 5313 and see if there are questions, because I know Nigel has a point. Nigel.
Hi, Nigel. You still haven't switched. Nigel?
Hello. Hello, testing 1, 2, 3.
Yes, we hear you now.
Okay. I'm really interested to know where the clauses in RFC 1591 were that allows for extenuating circumstances to waive the in-country requirement. Or where having a contract can override 1591?
Well, the in-country requirements are largely jurisdictional, and we can all channel John to say he doesn't want to decide what a country is, et cetera. And there are contracts that, you know, that adopt different applicable law or don't require, you know, don't have the same kinds of requirements. And it's just to acknowledge that those older agreements are out there, and we're not purporting to challenge them.
I think this is wrong. We may be able to recognize what you're suggesting in a different way, but the requirement of RFC 1591 to have an admin contact that resides in the country or territory, not an operator, but an admin contact, is pretty absolute. And the reason for that is to enable somebody in the local community to proceed according to local law. If you can't serve something on the admin contact because they're out of country, then the thing is entirely detached from the country or territory that the two-letter code represents. I think we're confusing something here. I mean, there are situations whereby the operator is out of country, such as in the case of .nu, the operator is out of country, but the admin contact resides in the country or territory represented by the code.
I mean, you and I
know we have historical reasons for how the IANA have insisted on this in the past. upon the resignation of admin contact and there being none other findable?
I don't feel the need to insist on this last phrase. So if anybody else, I see Al's hand is up. I don't know if it's response is specifically to this, but
it is.
I will.
And Antarctica cannot be, doesn't have to be in country. If outlying minor islands, UM is delegated, doesn't have to be in country. .eu is an issue because it is not one country. So there are things that fit quite well. And if the manager has a contract with the admin contact, let's say tripartite agreement, the Australian government has an agreement with ICANN and the manager has an agreement, and then an agreement is, okay, the administrative contact sits maybe in New Zealand for the next 2 years, and everybody writes a contract and it specifies that he can be served and everything. I think that is not, it is not as absolute as Nigel wants it to be. I can live with this.
Right, and that's what this phrase was intended to reflect.
Okay. I mean, I have a vague recollection that we went down this, and I don't want to dwell and rehearse this, but there's a couple of issues here. First of all, and this goes back all the way to John, we can channel him if you like, use your expression, but in the circumstances where there was no indigenous population whatsoever, such as minor outlying islands or southern territories and so on, the IANA's policy was to accept an admin contact in the mother country, the sovereign to be precise. So secondly, the operator has nothing to do with the admin contact. So if the operator has a contract that eliminates this requirement, we're talking effectively that somebody can construct a contract which overrides CCTLD policy, and it's the latter part that I have more problem with than the former part. There are circumstances, Elle's quite right, there are circumstances where you can't have, for practical reasons, an admin contact in Guano Island. But the second part after the or is problematic for me.
If I can, ma'am, just for a sec.
Hello? Hello? Can people hear me?
Hello?
I just want to put a little context where this came from, probably. If I remember correctly, at one point when we were dealing with this, Kim came and sort of brought in the notion that this is subject to looser interpretation by IANA depending on conditions. And just to keep it simple, I think that's where it started, and we were trying to reflect that notion. And I'm not saying we've done it perfectly, I'm just sort of putting in some of the context. Over to you, ma'am.
Hello? Am I live?
Hello, Bill?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, fairly.
All right, is that better?
Yes.
So, Nigel, so to say, I really do disagree with you. There's nothing in RFC 1591 that actually defines what an admin contact's role is. It says it has to be in the country. It could be there in order to have a direct connection with the users and give feedback to the manager. But we've kind of lost this concept as the manager is the entity that's being delegated or redelegated, not the admin contact. I don't think we should read between the lines and try and figure out, gee, why should an admin contact live in the country? for legal reasons, for social reasons, for cultural reasons, for community relations. It's not defined anywhere. In addition, the admin contact and the tech contact having to sign off, they're both employees of the manager in theory, certainly in the case of IUSN they are, and they're having to sign off as merely a might be an artifact of the days of RFC 1591. Right now, they're having to sign off as merely under instructions of their employer, the manager. And finally, in the case of IUSN or .NU, the manager is a U.S. corporation incorporated in Delaware, not in Niue. And so any national law in Niue relating to manager is irrelevant, in fact. And there are other entities similar to the IUSN structure that are the same kind of situation. So how we read this is far more complicated than just the simplistic kind of single concept of, well, if there has to be an admin contact in the country, that means that national law applies to that TLD. Not necessarily. It depends on the structure of the existing delegated manager. I do notice in the RFC there is a sort of small phrase, end of page 4, the applying party may not be able to represent or serve the whole country. The latter case sometimes arises when a party outside a country is trying to be helpful in getting networking started in a country. This is sometimes called the proxy DNS services. I know that's a little bit of a stretch, but it does imply that John was certainly aware that there were an awful lot of African TLDs getting managed by one person somewhere in northwestern U.S. And then finally, sad to say, I'm going to refer to the GAC principles, which themselves recognize the fact that there will be out-of-country managers.
I think that I'm going to ask Nigel if we can take this offline. My sense is that the room is generally comfortable with this and feels like it reflects the circumstances we actually find ourselves in. So let's talk about it offline with Nigel. Bernie, you want to go on? Oh, Bernie is not there. He just is off for a moment, so I will carry on. 5314, the designated manager serves as the trustee for the delegated domains with the duty to serve. We talked about that. 5314-1 rehearses the conversation that we had about what the term trustee means in this context. 532, RFC 1591 requires that the designated manager have the ability to carry out the necessary responsibilities described above in an equitable, just, honest, and competent manner, and gives IANA the ability to step in the event of significant misbehavior. 5321, the FOIG interprets the requirement of the designated manager to be equitable to all groups in the domain as obligating the manager to make its registration policies accessible and understandable to prospective applicants and to apply these policies in an impartial manner, treating similarly situated would-be registrants in the same manner. 5322, the working group notes, however, that the concept of being equitable to all groups varies depending on context. Choices made by the local internet community, such as whether or not the domain is open or closed, applicable national law, et cetera. In addition, questions regarding justice, honesty, and serving the local community are highly contextual As a result, the IANA contractor may refrain from acting and look to the local internet community where it lacks the information and context needed to evaluate the more subjective aspects of these requirements. Period after requirement. And I think that in the very first sentence, the issue is not that the concept of being equitable to all groups varies under, depending upon context, is that the meaning of being equitable to all groups will vary depending on context, et cetera. Okay, comments? I know we probably have some on that. I see Nigel's hand up.
Okay, I think there's some work to be done on this, although I see and agree with the intent of putting it in. And to put something like this in is right to do so in a multicultural, multinational context. And I'm actually pleased to see this being considered rather than just look at it from a Californian or even Los Angeles point of view. I've got some problems with the way it's done. Maybe then we can take this offline and produce a better text that's, I suspect, a bit shorter too. But probably by accident, we've made some implications here. We've said here that things like honesty vary. No, I'm sorry, honesty does not vary. So I think we need to have some wordsmithing on this. I think what we're driving at here is what's known in international law as the margin of appreciation. But I think we can do something about this offline.
Okay. Everhart?
I just want to place on record that national law doesn't belong in this working group. Any interpretation is not part of any of the policy documents that we have to look at. Sorry. Didn't want to agree with myself.
Nigel, is your hand up again?
It's up, but it's because I'm being neglectful again.
Ah, okay. Martin.
Thank you. I'd like to just pick up on a couple of points, and I'd also, quickly scanning the document, I can't see where national sovereignty appears in this text, picking up on Eberhard's point. If I can go back to 53141, there is a specific reference under little Roman numeral 1, provide mechanisms to allow for registrants and significantly interested parties to provide input to the manager. But it doesn't say, doesn't give any indications to what that input to the manager should be about. And I think that needs to be qualified to avoid there being unnecessary inputs or people putting in.
I'm losing you, Martin.
Sorry. Is that better? Something that actually prevents frivolous input as something that that the registry should be required to offer the facility to put in. And on a slightly trivial point, after manager, there's a close quotes that doesn't have an open quotes to start, so I think it needs to be deleted. Under 532.1, we talk about equitable to all groups. RSC 1591 makes specific reference to just, honest, and competent, as well as equitable. And that does get picked up in 5322, except that the competent word is dropped. So I'm happy with 5322. I accept that just honest and competent only needs to appear once, so long as it is in 5322, then that's fine. But the word competence, I think, does need to go in. And then I would disagree with Nigel's comment, unless I'm missing where he's making it, and that's sort of honesty being an absolute term. Yeah, I'm sure he's right, but in fact the words here are about the context of honesty. So I think it is questions regarding just dishonesty and serving the local community, and it's of the in the context of the local community that needs to be looked at. And of course, as we've agreed before, IANA is badly fitted for trying to do that sort of assessment. Thank you.
Thank you, Martin. Eberhardt?
Okay. I did not use the word national sovereignty. Sovereignty as said national law. 5.3.2.2, fourth line from above, first and second words from the left. I don't really think we should specify too much what input is, because it's nowhere defined in our document. I agree that it makes sense to think about it. We don't want to put a burden on the manager to have to prove in excruciating detail that every single private first class who had a grievance was accommodated in writing and through several appeal levels of things, no matter how frivolous it is. But I don't think we need to put this here. I also fully agree with you that honesty and competence and openness and access to official records are highly contextual and vary from country to country. Therefore, it's very important that we are very careful what and how we write this here. I fully agree with you.
Eberhardt, does that mean that you are comfortable with the way that it is written now?
We need to redo this. I like where you're going with this, but the actual wording needs to some finesse, I think.
Okay. So I think that we are going to come back as a group with a revised version of this in short order. Any other comments? Nigel, your hand is up.
Hello? Did you call me?
I said your hand is up.
Yes, it is. I put it back up. I was taking the mute off, so I didn't hear you say it. It seems to me that Martin and Eberhardt and I, when you distill it through, are actually in violent agreement about this. I see major problems with the wordsmithing of it, and I see the possibility of it being either accidentally or intentionally misinterpreted in the future to say something quite different from what we intend. I'm unhappy with it as it is, but I'm happy with the idea of a paragraph referring to a margin of appreciation for the context, if you like, of equitable doesn't change, but obviously it doesn't mean you can force a CCTLD manager to open its registration to individuals when it has a rule which consistently applies to all people in its territory that says you can only be a company. So that's, I don't think, the intent here. I think the intent is laudable, but the execution is problematic.
So what I would like to suggest Nigel, is that you take a rewrite shot, and that we get you and Martin involved in reflecting your violent agreement in words.
I'm happy with that.
Okay. Eberhardt?
I am also happy with it, which is shown by my green tick mark.
Ah, excellent. Okay. All right, moving along.
But you said Martin, not words missing between Nigel and Martin. I'm quite willing to make a threesome out of it.
Okay, you can make a threesome
if
out of it.
If necessary. I'm not volunteering violently.
Okay, well, I'm not excluding anybody violently, so I will leave that to, I mean, in the end, all of us will be involved, but for the moment?
Sure.
Okay.
No problem, we'll work it. I'm quite willing to have a go.
Okay. Moving along. Bernie?
533. Application and selection of designated managers. The working group interprets RFC 1591 to require the IANA contractor in the manager selection process to ensure that the proposed manager fits the necessary technical, administrative, and operational skills judged by the standard of the ordinarily competent PLD manager. This requires the prospective registry manager to demonstrate that he or she, bracket, or if a legal person, it, one, possesses the requisite skills to carry out the duties of a manager, skills test, and two, if designated, will have the means necessary to carry out those duties, including the ongoing responsibilities discussed above, upon receiving the appointment, executory preparedness test. I see Al has his hand up, so I'll hand it over to you, Matt.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't take it down quick enough.
Ah, okay. 533, any other questions, comments? Seeing none. 534, application to designated managers. Although one could read RFC 1591 to limit the authority of the IANA contractor to step in during the process of selecting a designated manager, on balance, the working group interprets Section 3.4 of RFC 1591 to create, one, an ongoing obligation on the designated manager to operate the CCTLD without substantial misbehavior, and two, a reserve power for the IANA contractor to step in the event that the designated manager does substantially misbehave. There is a 5341 we will do before taking comments. RFC 1591 identifies three formal mechanisms available to the IANA contractor: delegation, transfer, and revocation. The FOI working group, as discussed above, interprets RFC 1591 to require the consent of an incumbent manager to any transfer of a CCTLD. If one assumes that a CCTLD manager misbehaves, is unlikely to provide such consent, and the IANA contractor's informal efforts to address such misbehavior are unavailing, the only formal mechanism that remains available to the IANA contractor is revocation. Accordingly, the working group interprets RFC 1591 to permit, am I still being heard? My interface went away.
We can hear you. We can hear you, but yes, the interface has done something weird.
Yeah, okay. Some minor instability on...
It has misunderimproved itself.
Let me see if I can find the document again.
There you go.
Thank you.
What number was it?
We were under 5-3.
Three four one, yes.
And we were under 5-3-4-1-1, I believe. So that's a little bigger. Actually, read it without glasses. To remain available to the INA contractor is revocation. Accordingly, the working group interprets RFC 1591 to permit INA to revoke the CCPLD delegation in appropriate cases where the designated manager has substantially misbehaved. Right. We've got a few other points under here, so I'll take it here if there are any questions and comments. 5-3-4-1 and 5-3-4-1-1. Okay, I'm not seeing anything. 53-4-12. Given that the primary responsibility of the IANA contractor is to preserve DNS internet stability and security, the FOI working group interprets revocation under RFC 1591 as a last resort option to be exercised in situations where a delegated manager has substantially misbehaved in a way that poses a threat to the stability and security of the DNS internet, or where the manager fails to cure violations of the objective requirements described above after notice. We have a comment. Over to you, Nigel.
Yeah, okay. It would appear, and this may be intentional, that the examples given are the only examples. Is that our intention?
Yeah, we're only talking about substantial misbehavior and persistent problems. So what else can there be?
No, I'm talking about substantial misbehavior necessarily includes by posing a threat to the stability. So that is the test.
Yeah, yeah. I think we've discussed this before. If somebody steals the petty cash, that is also substantial misbehavior for some others, but not in this context. So the context must be, as you said, egregious conduct that affects the DNS in such a manner. So I think that is quite acceptable to me.
I didn't say it was unacceptable. I said, is that our intention? I'm just making sure we're explicitly all in agreement on what we're doing, and I'm happy to concur with that viewpoint.
We are violently in agreement.
Well, I'm not going to stand in the way of violent agreement.
Excellent.
Bernie? I see no other comments.
Okay. So take us to 53-413. The FOI working group notes, however, that IANA will rarely be in a good position to evaluate the extent to which a designated manager is carrying out the necessary responsibilities of a CCPLD operator in a manner that is equitable, just, honest, or except insofar as it compromises the stability and security of the DNS internet a competent manner. Accordingly, the FOI working group interprets RFC 1591 mean that revocation would not be an appropriate exercise of its right to step in unless the designated manager has substantially misbehaved in a manner that poses a risk to the stability or security of the DNS internet, and or the designated manager has refused to correct repeated problems with email connectivity, presence on the internet, and or maintenance. Accordingly, under RFC 1591, to would the appropriate, whoa, we've got to adjust that, would be appropriate, it would be appropriate for the IANA contractor to look to the local community when the actions of the designated delegated manager do not pose a stability security threat. Full stop. We have comments. Over to you, ma'am.
Okay, we have Nigel and then Bill.
Well, I'm happy to defer to Bill and come in second if people feel I'm just being a bit too quick off the mark. But it's a quick one from me.
Then you're on, so do it.
Okay, this extra wording under 53413, again, I don't see in RFC 5091 the language that we're interpreting to produce that result. We are making broad policy statements here, and I think it's devaluing the interpretation exercise.
Which are the extra words?
I've got it starts accordingly and ends in threat. I'm assuming you've corrected the manger bit.
Bill, I'm going to go to you and then come back to this comment if you're on another topic.
I'm on a similar topic. Certainly I'd be happy with Nigel's proposal to just remove it. On the other hand, it's possible that with some words missing, for example, to look to the Internet community, not the local community, we might be able to fit it under the language that's in the RFC.
Well, if I could just correct something Bill said, I don't recall hearing saying that I proposed removing it. I'm just highlighting a problem I see with it.
Okay. Well, the simplest solution is to remove it. Another proposal is to at least try and make it consistent with the language of the RFC, in which there's an obligation both to the global Internet community and the local Internet community. That's an and, not an or. And so just limiting it to the local community, for example, if the local community has minimal use of the domain name, I believe a dozen names are registered in NUI under .nu, but there's a quarter of a million outside of the local community who could complain there's no email connectivity, then that would be more relevant, the complaints from the people outside of the local community.
Well, I think we could say relevant community. We've used that term before.
Yeah, although relevant community could be, you know, the ITU.
I fail to see what we're interpreting here.
Yeah, well, that's where I am, too. I leave it to you, Becky.
I don't think that this is a hard call on what we're interpreting here. We're saying if we interpret, you know, the point of, you know, sort of the prime directive of IANA is to preserve stability and security, there are these contextual issues that make IANA weighing in cases not involving the stability and security difficult. Accordingly, IANA, it would be appropriate for IANA to defer in situations where the misbehavior doesn't pose a stability or security threat. I think that that's just those things all follow from the discussion that we've had about what the primary purpose is and the difficulty of interpretation.
Becky, you said.
Yes.
I mean,
just leave it. I don't mean defer. I don't mean follow the direction.
Don't back away. I'm totally with you on this point. But that's not how I read this. I read this in a quite different manner. I read that the IANA should go marching into the local community and start doing things in the local community.
Okay, that's absolutely...
There's a problem.
Okay, this is a good clarification because that is not what's intended here. I do mean, you know, it's the local community's problem to solve.
In other words, you go
or
back
the,
to
the, it's, or the relevant community.
1591 that we can interpret, whereby John wrote something like, the IANA generally takes no action to change things unless.
Correct.
Well, why don't we say
exactly that? So if you want to take a shot at this language as well, but I think that's what we're going for. And then
I'd rather somebody else had to go at this. I've been doing too much.
Okay. I see Martin's hand. And then after we get done with this one section, we need to go to the progress report because we have only a little bit of time left. Martin?
Thanks, Becky. Yeah, I think certainly those last three lines in red do need to be in the text in some form or other. But I think the way that your exchange with Nigel has just gone is probably quite a satisfactory way of dealing with it. The reason I think it does need to be there is that just immediately above we have very much limited the text to the posing a risk to the stability and security of the DNS. Which is obviously something that IANA by itself can make a judgment and assessment on. But when it comes to wider issues that are included in 3.3.3 of RFC 1591, that is something where the local community, the relevant community, the internet community and their views and opinions need to be taken into account. It's something that did get picked up before in the fact that an awful lot of these issues are actually not judgeable by somebody from the outside. Thanks.
Okay, so I guess I will take a shot at that, but I appreciate the clarification on the reading, and I think it's another case of violent agreement not properly reflected in words. Okay, let's turn to the progress report in the remaining time that we have. Bernie, do you want to? That was circulated, right? Here we go. Okay.
Yes, it was.
Right. Will you walk
us through it? We've got that up. Yeah, it's very, very close to the one we had in Toronto, given we haven't really publishing publicly. So we'll just go through it quickly. Introduction and background is the standard stuff from all the progress reports, so I'm not going to go through that. That's been approved many a time. There has been no change. Progress since Toronto. On the topic of obtaining documenting consent, the FOI working group has completed its work on this topic, which will be integrated into the final report to the CCNSO and GAC. On the topic of obtaining and documenting support for delegation and redelegation requests from significantly interested parties, the will return. The working group will return to this topic after completing its work on the topic of revocation, grammatical correction there. On the topic of revocation and unconsented redelegation, the members of the FOI working group have made considerable progress on analyzing the issues and developing draft recommendations pertaining to the revocation of a CCTLD delegation and unconsented redelegation. The FOI Working Group will continue its discussions at its Beijing face-to-face meeting. It anticipates publishing its interim report on this topic before the ICANN Durban meeting, which is the summer meeting. I see I've got Bill with his hand up. Bill.
I'm going to go back to my bugbear. I can't move the page, so... I'm just going to recall what was at the beginning, unless you can move it up for me.
Which one are you talking about?
Page one.
Page one.
Yeah, the opening paragraph.
Okay.
I would be more comfortable if, let's see, the scope of the FOIWG also clearly specifies that any proposed proposal to amend, update, or change the policy statements is outside the scope of the FOIG. I would prefer if that said policy statements and guidelines.
Okay, that's interesting because you know, we haven't really touched this text in several meetings.
I raised this issue all the way back to Toronto, and occasionally it creeps in and occasionally it doesn't.
Yeah, okay. I'll go back and have a look at that, and I'll get back to you directly on that.
I mean,
Is that okay?
Find its way into the original paragraph where it now says interpretations of the policies and guidelines. But it didn't find its way into the following.
Okay. I will we'll discuss that and get back to you in the following day.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. Anything else on the initial section? No, okay. So we've made it to the topic of revocation. And talking, continuing our discussions in the Durban meeting on the topic of IANA reports on delegation and redelegations. The FOI will start its work on the terminology and recommendations for IANA reports on delegation and redelegation once its interim report on the topic of revocation and unconsented redelegations is complete. The FOI working group met six times by telephone conference since the face-to-face Toronto meeting. Keith Davidson. So what I note from this point is I've got the point we just talked about with Bill, and we've got the section under a small grammatical mistake on the topic of obtaining and documenting support for delegation and redelegation requests from six. Are there any other comments or questions? Okay, so we'll work at fixing those two issues, and thank you very much. We are at 8:53, so I will hand it over to Becky.
Yes, so Christina, our meeting in our next meeting is in Beijing on Thursday. Is that the right day?
Yes, it's from 9 to 12 local time in Beijing, in room function 11.
Hopefully we will be able to have redrafts of this section circulated well before then, and perhaps we can finally put this section to bed early in the process. Do we have any other business? Bernie, I can't see hands at this moment.
Oh, sorry. I don't believe there's anything significant that we have to deal with at this point. Look forward to seeing the members in Beijing, and thank you, everyone.
Thanks, everybody.
Goodbye, everyone. Have a good day.
Goodbye.
Or night. Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.